Hello, and welcome to 10 Lessons Learned, where we talk to leaders and luminaries from all over the world to dispense wisdom for career, business, and life in order to make the world wiser lesson by lesson. My name is Diana White, and I'm your host for this episode. Our guest today is Martin Salama. Martin is known as the architect of the Warrior's Life Code. He specializes in helping frustrated people with their lives quickly shift their mindset and uncover their greatness so they can live their true potential and enjoy life. An example of what he's achieved is a client like Roberta, who lost her six-figure job due to COVID and came to Martin depressed and very lost. Roberta stated that within a short time, she had direction, focus, and a renewed sense of energy around all the possibilities she could pursue, and was getting back on track to enjoy life. The key to Martin's success? He's mastered the ability to live incredibly full every day, which he turned into the acronym LIFE, L-I-F-E, and created the Warrior's Life Code coaching program. Welcome, Martin.
Oh, thank you so much, Diana. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I am so excited to have you here. And listeners and viewers, Martin is a fellow New Yorker, so you know that this had to be my episode. Sorry for all my co-hosts. So, Martin, I'm going to start with a question that I have for you before we get into our lessons. What would you tell your 30-year-old self?
I would tell my 30-year-old self to listen to what your father's been telling you your whole life. Don't take anything personally.
So true. Oh, so true. If only we weren't so angsty and just took our parents' advice when they gave it to us, huh?
Right. You know, as I got older, my parents got smarter.
It's so true. And I bet you if you asked them, they'd say, oh, as he got older, he got smarter. Because that's what my mom says about me.
Exactly.
Well, let's start off with your first lesson. Lesson number one. Start with admission, cleansing, and celebration. Let's talk about that.
So admission, cleansing, and celebration. So let me first tell you, all of these lessons that we're talking about, I have in a card deck that I've just produced called the Warrior to Warrior card deck. And, you know, hopefully my New York accent didn't screw that up for everybody else, Diana. I know you got what warrior to warrior means.
Yes. You know?
Okay. But being worried to becoming a warrior, being standing with it with your strength. So the card deck is something that just came out and it's available for people to get. So while we're going through this, I mean, it's not all the things that are in the cards, but the 10 lessons are a part of the card deck.
Love
that. The first one, yep, is admission, cleansing, and celebration. Okay. So admission means admitting that the way your life is going isn't exactly as you want it to be going. It's recognizing that you have the control to change the way things are happening for you, and admitting that for that to happen, you have to say, I have to change, right? So that takes you to cleansing. Once you've admitted it, you start the process of changing or cleansing, getting through these different changes that you're going through, cleansing yourself of those things that were holding you back. And as you start to do these, you start to celebrate the little changes that you're making. So that's the celebration. For example, someone goes on a diet. They go, I want to lose 50 pounds. They get to 5 pounds. They usually go, okay, so it's 5 pounds. No, celebrate it. It's 5 pounds. You're 10% of the way.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, just an idea of what admission, cleansing, and celebration is about.
It's almost reminiscent of, I believe this is Maya Angelou. Viewers and listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, but she once said, when you know better, do better, right? And so that acknowledgement—
They will correct you if you're wrong, but I think you're probably right.
So that acknowledgement, you know, that admission of, I've got this thing I want to do or want to change, leads to those other pieces, which right. I think is great.
Thank you so much.
Lesson number two. Use the cycle of A's. Now, I was confused by this, so I'm curious.
Okay, so get ready. Because to me, the cycle of A's is really where things start to happen. It's the beginning of it. So the cycle of A's stands for three letter A's. That's a cycle that once you get into it and get to it more often, things will start to happen. So what am I talking about? I've said a whole lot of nothing so far. So we've all heard of, many of us have heard about the law of attraction, right? What you think about, what you want attracts you. But you know what? There's a very, very basic definition of the law of attraction. So the cycle of A's takes it from that foundational and helps you to put it into practice. So there's three A's. The first one is ask. Ask God, ask the universe, ask whoever your greatest, great power of your life is to give you the things that you want in your life or that you desire, okay? So that's the first one. And that's where the law of attraction comes into play. It's the definition I attract to my life, whatever I give my energy, focus, and attention to, whether wanted or unwanted. So that's the cycle of A's card. And just to show you for a second, I don't know if you see, there's a cycle here.
I do. Yeah.
All right. So that's the first one. Ask. Ask for what you want. The next one is act. Start doing the work towards getting what you want. Because just saying, oh, I want this, it's not going to get it for you. It's really not going to get it for you. Oh, I want $1 million. Well, how are you going to get $1 million? You're going to wake up one day and the leprechaun's going to be standing outside with the pot of gold? It doesn't work that way. And that takes us to number three, which is the most important because it's the hardest. But it's really, once you start to embrace it and understand it and utilize it, it makes ask, act, and attitude, the three cycle start to happen, to perpetuate itself. The third one is attitude. Have an attitude of I don't care about the outcome, or you have a detached emotion to the outcome. Because what happens is you're doing act and ask, and you're doing all this work. What your natural tendency is, oh my God, I really want this to happen. It's really got to happen. Mm-hmm. And you start to put out this emotion, this energy of lack. And the ether out there is hearing the lack. The law of attraction is hearing the lack and keeping it from you, okay? But if you have this attitude of, I don't care what happens now, if something comes along the way that's not exactly what you expected, instead of you saying, oh my God, it's not happening, you start to say, maybe I need to make a course correction. And if you keep your emotions out of it, it puts you into this perpetual cycle of A's.
I love that. So it's ask, act, and attitude.
Right.
Flawless. I love that. And I think I'm going to adopt it today.
Cool.
I am a firm believer of the ask, of putting the energy out there. But I absolutely hear what you're saying, Martin, where some people put the ask out there and then immediately start to give off the odor of desperation.
Exactly. Desperation means, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself if I don't have it.
Okay. Lesson number three, stop, think, respond. So I love what you're doing here because you have a lot of threes. And it's very simple to adopt, very simple to act upon. And I imagine it just shows results. So talk to me about stop, think, respond.
Okay. So yeah, I do have threes and I have fours as well, but yeah, a lot of threes. So when your children were growing up, okay, as my children and maybe us too, I don't know. And the firemen would come to school and teach the children fire safety. They teach them three words to think about when you're in a fire, in an emergency fire. Do you remember what those three words are?
Can we say them together?
Sure.
One, two, three. Stop, drop, and roll.
Right. Stop what you're doing. Drop to the ground below the smoke and roll away from the emergency, from the fire. Okay. So I was somebody who was a very reactive type of a person. I would react to everything to the point that I would overreact to the point that I was like a nuclear reactor because I took things personally. And as a result, I was a control freak and I was a people pleaser and I had a short temper. So while I was going through my divorce, I was also going through life coach training. And it was God's way of saying, this is what you need to do. You know, you're down. And there's more to the story before that. Maybe we'll get to some of it. But I was really at a low point already when my wife asked for the divorce. And, you know, I had so much lack of self-confidence, self-awareness, self-love, that I was afraid of never being married again. I afraid nobody would ever love me and all that. So I went into this coaching and I had already admitted to myself that I want to change who I am professionally. But then when I got there that first week, and they go, before you could start to coach others, you got to figure out what's going on in yourself. And that led me to this. So I took stop, drop, and roll. And as I was putting my course together, I realized I was working with a coach to help me develop my course. And he said, well, what did you do to get you to stop reacting and start responding? And I said to him, well, you know, like a fireman, stop, drop, and roll. I came up with stop, think, and respond. Right? Because I was always shoot first, ask questions later. So now I said, and this came through as I was going through coaching, I was going through my divorce, and I was noticing the buttons that she would push, whether consciously or unconsciously, to get me going. For example, she would say, you know, we're in the middle of something, and she'd call me up or whatever, and she'd say, I don't want to fight, but now, for years, she used that line. And to me, it meant, let's get ready to rumble. Okay. And I would say, okay, I guess we're fighting. And I would, my emotions would go up and I would start fighting. And it was easy for her to then turn around and say, you started the fight. I said, I don't want to fight, but right now, like I said, I'm not going to say she did that consciously. She probably really meant, I want to tell you something and I don't want you to get upset, which would then, that would happen. So now that I was more aware of my feelings, I recognized that that's what I was doing. So I stopped and I said, okay, she, what do I need to do? I got to listen a little better and I got to listen to what she's saying and recognize, where is it coming from? Am I taking it personally? So on and so forth, and then respond. So once I recognized that that's what I was doing, I came up with stop, think, and respond.
You know, one of the things that struck me when you talked about this is everyone, I think, in the world has their idea of how the different sexes handle a breakup or a relationship challenge. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the times, the man has always seemed as, you know, cold or distant, or in most cases, he started it. You know, he checked out before I did, or those kinds of things. And the vulnerability that you showed by saying men think the same things that women do when relationships are falling apart. What, I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of the future without this person. I'm afraid of the future by myself. What does it mean for another relationship? Will I have another relationship? I think women, I think we think we're the only ones that think that way. And it is not true. And I'm so glad you brought that up and mentioned it. And I wish that more men were strong enough. We're gonna change that narrative. Instead of saying vulnerable, say strong enough to admit these things, because I think that the conversations would be richer, even if they still end up in the separation.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
100%. And it's interesting that you brought up the word vulnerable and strong, because I actually wrote a blog, I don't know, a few months ago, that's on my website, about that be a man has new meaning. Okay.
Yeah.
When I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, all right, it was the time of Macho Man, you know, and all that. And before that, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, men didn't show their emotions, because if they did, they were looked at as weak.
Yeah.
You never asked for help and you held your emotions in. I was an emotional kid when I was growing up. I was always an emotional kid. And my father would say, don't worry about it so much. But that was the times that he had. And I really took everything personally. Now, I've learned to temper that. But thanks to somebody like Brené Brown, who brought the word vulnerability out of the closet. Whereas at the time, we would look at vulnerability as a weakness. And now you're so right. When you show your vulnerability, you show your authenticity, you're showing you can be strong while having emotions. So thank you for bringing that up.
I'm thanking you for bringing it up. It's a revelation. And I hope our viewers and listeners take something away from that. So lesson number four, reframe your meaning of life and life in your acronym, which is, once again, tell us what that acronym is.
So life stands for me for live incredibly full every day.
Love it. And thank you. Reframe your meaning of living incredibly full every day. Tell us about that.
So as I was going through my divorce and coming out the other side, I immediately became a divorce recovery coach. Made sense. I just came through a divorce. And the things I had learned had helped me get through the divorce. And I did this for a few years. And like you said, it was interesting because I couldn't get too many men clients because they didn't want to admit their feelings and so on and so forth. But I still had clients and so on and so forth. And then I looked in the mirror one day and I wasn't happy with the way I looked. I wasn't happy with the way I felt. My coaching was just a side job and my regular job was a dead-end job. And I was allowing all those things to hold me back. And I wasn't being coached, which was like every coach needs a coach at all times. So I looked in the mirror. I said, I got to change. I was the heaviest I ever was in my life. I was working. I was leaving the house at 7 a.m., getting home at 7 p.m. And I could have easily said, I have no time. But I wanted the change. The change was strong enough in me that I said, okay, what can I do? Oh, my friend was talking on Facebook that there's a 30-minute video that I can do from home. Great. I can wake up 45 minutes earlier, work out, take a few minutes to cool down, take a shower and still get to work and just change my time schedule. I did that. I started eating better. I started reading better. I started allowing myself to be coached again. And in 9 months, I lost 65 pounds.
Wow. That's amazing.
But along with that came a new sense of self. And I went from self-conscious to self-aware, which we'll get a little deeper in lesson 9, okay, just to give you a little tip of it. And I started doing things like meditating. Now, I'm ADHD, okay? So imagine me being meditating, guided meditation for 10 minutes. When is this going to be over? Okay, but one of these times, I had this download that I loved my life and I loved everything that was going on, and I wanted to help other people. After I meditated, I wrote for 2 hours, and out of that came life, live incredibly full every day.
It amazes me how when you're going through a change or a metamorphosis, and if you had asked yourself or challenged yourself before this metamorphosis, hey, write a book, hey, figure out a philosophy, hey, bring something to the world that will help it be better, you would say, "But I'm not that person."
Right. That actually happened to me. Somebody turned to me and said, you should write a book. I'm like, me? A week later, I got an email from one of these emails that I was on saying, my friend's holding a seminar on writing books, a webinar. I was like, all right, let me go on it. I wrote my first book, Recovering from Divorce, because of somebody planting the seed. So yeah. And then when I came up with life, my book coach, she challenged me. She said, okay, so you have living incredibly full every day. Now go back and come up with a couple of other acronyms for life. And I was like, okay, so here's a card, alternate definitions. I couldn't remember exactly what it said. Love intensely, fiercely, and effortlessly. Leadership inspires fearless energy. Luck is innovated from experience. Lasting improvement favors everyone. And there's another few other, but I just gave you a couple of them there.
And they all go together.
Yeah.
They all go together. I love it. Lesson number five. This is the one where our New Yorker accents might get the better of us, eh? So let's do this. Lesson number five, lose the worrier and find the warrior in you.
That's right. That's right. So I have two cards on this. One is the warrior mindset, which is basically 20 affirmations you can say to get yourself into a warrior mindset. I am open and ready to be positive. I am in control of my feelings. No matter how hard it is, I can do it. And down the line, positive things. I deserve to be happy. I'm a kind person. I have the power to be happy. I'm grateful for what I have. It's okay if I make a mistake. I like myself for who I am. Today is going to be a great day.
So viewers and listeners, I want you to take this in. I know there's going to be some of you that are saying, affirmations, they're stupid. What do? They're just words. But I challenge you because you know what? How silly you feel if you say, I am deserving, right? How silly you feel when you say that out loud in the mirror. You don't feel silly subconsciously when you say, why'd you do that, idiot? Right. When you did, it's so easy to demean yourself and say horrible things that you would never say to another person. So easy to say that in your head. Why can't you flip that narrative and be able to embrace those affirmations and say them and mean them as fiercely as you meant the negative stuff? You'd be surprised what it does to your mindset.
Yep.
And how you interact in the world.
Yep. We're going to save the other one for lesson seven.
Because okay.
I flipped them by accident, but it's okay. All good.
All right. Let's take a quick break. I'd like to take a short break to thank our affiliate partner, Audible. Audible is an amazing way to consume 10 Lessons Learned, books, and other podcasts, allowing you to build a library of knowledge all in one place. You can start your 30-day free trial by going to audibletrial.com/10lessons learned. With Audible, you can find your favorite lesson while at home or on the go. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/10lessons learned, all lowercase, for a free 30-day trial. The link will be in the show notes. Let's welcome back Martin Salama and continue with lesson number six. Lesson number six, incorporate your new mindset in your finances so you can live in financial abundance. Let's take it away.
All right. So I kind of put this towards the middle end of my course because you first got to understand the importance of abundance in other areas of your life, because finances always end up being the sticking point. Oh, I can't afford it. And you start to struggle with yourself. So I basically said, no matter what your financial status is at this moment, there's at least a little bit of financial insecurity. The mindset of financial abundance seems to be one of the more difficult mindsets to achieve for most people. That's totally understandable. Start by taking a percentage. So here it is. I say, take 40% of the money that you have coming in every day. No matter what, how many dollars you get in, take 40%. Some people say, 40%, I can't do it. Start with 20%, whatever the number is. But your goal should be 40% down the line. Because they go, oh my God, I can't live on what I'm living now. Try it. You're going to find after you start to do this and you start putting this 40% away, that you're able to live on the 60% just as easily. It's just that your mindset is set in telling you you can't. And then what do you do with the 40%? You set up four separate accounts, 10% each. Big purchases, like, for example, I want to buy a car. Okay, got to put money towards that. Next one, fun money. Do something fun. And don't let this accumulate more than 90 days because you've got to put fun into your life.
Oh.
If you're not, you're not going anywhere. Right? Next, giving to others, charity. And then golden goose / emergency / pay down debt, whatever it is. Once you finish paying down your debt, you've got some emergency money. And really what you want to do is have it for your golden goose down the road, invest it into something else, so on and so forth.
Now, it's very rare that I hear someone say the second part of what you said with the fun money, which is don't just save it and continuously save it. Challenge yourself to use it every 90 days. Because you need to treat yourself. I think that is the crux of why people don't want to set aside money, including 40% of their earnings. It's because if I do that, how do I have fun? I'm not going to have fun.
Right, exactly. And you see what I have over here, this sign over here? It says, never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life.
Yeah. Oh, man.
When I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, life, I have to get this.
And I like the buckets. I like the buckets because they're simple, they're meaningful. And I find a lot of the gurus that tell you you need to save and why and what you need to save for, they're speaking the truth. But the reality is people are living in the now and they're not living in the future. And so all of the things that they're talking about, retirement, you know, your stocks, IRAs, most people say, well, yeah, that's all well and good, but I got to eat right now, you know, and I don't want to. I grew up eating hot dogs and pork and beans. I want to eat filet mignon right now. And I have the salary that I can do that. And so it kind of takes away from that process of, well, you're going to live a lot longer than you think. You're not going to be able to work that whole time. And so what are you going to do?
Exactly. You're going to live on Social Security?
You know what? If that is your plan, listeners and viewers, if your plan is to live on Social Security alone in your retirement years, and I know retirement means something different in all the different countries that listen into us, but in the U.S., if your goal is to live off Social Security, then I challenge that you can cut 40% out right now because you'll be doing it later anyway. So you might as well start right now.
That's right.
All right. Lesson number 7.
Okay. So now 7, we're going to talk about to find the warrior within you because we did the affirmations.
Yes.
Number 5.
Now, lesson number 7, use the warrior mindset affirmations every day.
Right. So we did that. So now we're going to talk about lose the warrior and find the warrior in you. Okay. So I took the word warrior and broke it down to another acronym. Okay. Number 1, W, seek wisdom. You never know enough. There's always more to learn. And when you say, I know, you're really saying, no, I'm not interested.
Oh, powerful.
Right. Imagine when someone tells you something, I know. You're shutting them down because I know you don't have to tell me. So have some wisdom. The A is act, ask, and attitude. We went over that. R, realization. Be content with what you have. Have a mindset of I have everything. That doesn't mean that you don't desire more, but love what you do have without saying, oh my God, I need that and that and that. Next, recognize or be grateful. Gratitude. Be grateful for everything in your life. I, imagination. Think big. You know, Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, said, shoot for the stars, you may hit the moon. Optimism. Find optimism, positivity in everything you do. Wear rose-colored glasses. And then R, resilient. Be flexible and have an open mind. Because as we said, you may be doing act and attitude, and something comes and says, okay, this isn't the road you're supposed to be taking. You need to make a course correction. So be resilient, be ready to change.
So what I'm getting, and I love this, you're taking that word warrior and you're removing the fight. Anytime somebody says, you got to be a warrior, that means that head on, you are fighting for something, someone.
Yeah.
And it is less about you embracing yourself and enhancing yourself, and it's more about fighting.
Yes.
You're breaking down each letter and giving it a word that internalizes it and challenges you to make yourself a better person.
Right.
Martin, you're a smart man.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you where the warrior part came up. So here we are. I have this life stuff that I did, right? I told you how I came up with life. Live incredibly full every day. And I'm living every, this is 2014, 2015, 2016. And I'm living great. And I'm dating. I started dating. And while I'm going on these dates, I'm looking for women who have the same values because I learned so much about values in coaching. And I never realized how important values were until afterwards. And I don't mean this in the wrong way, but if I knew my values when I was in my 20s, I might not have married my wife, my first wife. I love my 4 children. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I'm not regretting it. I'm just saying I might have gone a different path. So now I'm doing this, I'm dating, and I meet somebody who's checking off all the boxes. I'm like, oh my God, this is fantastic. Month into it, I'm really loving this person. I tell her, I got to tell you something. You don't have to say it back to me. I'm falling in love with you because I see you as you are and you see me as I am and you're not looking to change me. So when we get married 2 years later, now comes 2020. Something happens in 2020, right?
Oh, something happened that challenged everybody's relationships. Yes,
continue. Everybody's everything.
Everything.
Right? It was basically everybody was running around like they were Chicken Little. The sky is falling. And now it's May. And we're only supposed to be in lockdown for a couple of weeks. And now it's a couple of months. And people are like, what is going on? And they're all worried. And I'm looking at them saying, why is everybody worried? Or better asked, why am I not worried? Why is my wife not worried? And I realized that the last 10, 12 years of my life, through the negatives that I'd gone through, in 2008, when the financial world fell apart, I lost everything. Every penny I had. By the time I got back on my feet mentally, my wife said, I want a divorce on our 24th wedding anniversary. I was down. I decided to go through coaching. I transformed myself from 1.0 Martin to Martin 2.0. And I was loving life. And I realized that what happened was, is that the last 12 years had prepared me for anything, even COVID.
Wow.
I got onto Facebook and I said, guys, I get it. I know why you're all worried. I was there. So let me show you how to go from being a warrior to a warrior, because a warrior is somebody who's been down, has faced adversity, and become stronger as a result of it.
Amazing. Amazing. Lesson number 8, the true meaning of rationalize and how it's self-sabotaging you. Oh, I found this so interesting. Let's go.
So now let me go back a little bit. I was 10 years old. I had a tragedy in my life. Mm. I lost my brother, my 5-year-old brother. He was killed in a school bus accident. I have 4 older sisters, and it's just me as the boy. I come from the Jewish community. Boys are everything. Okay, you're going to carry on the name. You're going to carry on the legacy, blah, blah, blah. Now I lost my brother. It's all up to me. At that moment, I became a people pleaser. With that came a lot of other things over the years. I took everything personally. I was short-tempered. I was a control freak. So as a people pleaser, I would do things and I would rationalize that why I'm doing them is for the greater good. It took me about 40 plus years to recognize that word rationalize was me self-sabotaging. Because it's really, and this is something I've trademarked, it's 2 words. It's rational lies.
Rational lies.
You lie to yourself that you're doing something that goes against what you really believe because it's rational to do these things because it's for the greater good. Or you're going to make the other person happy. Or your ego is getting in your way. Whatever it is, you tell yourself a lie that it's rational. Like, oh, I have no time to exercise. You could find the time if you really want to. So now when you make those excuses, say to yourself, is it a reason or is it a rational lie that is really an excuse in disguise?
Viewers and listeners, take that away today. Ask yourself, is it a rational lie or is it a real reason? So powerful. So powerful. Lesson number 9. Be clear about self-conscious versus self-aware.
Yep. So as I was looking back over my life and what I went through coaching, and the coaching program I went to was not like one of these 1-day, 2-day weekend things and you're older. It was almost a year because you really needed to learn the skills, learn about yourself, learn about how to approach your clients and all that. And then as I went through that and then found myself a few years later looking back and saying, why am I so heavy? Why am I so unhappy? Whatever. And I started to make this transformation. I started to go from being self-conscious to self-aware. So to me, I made a card on it. Self-consciousness comes from a place of negative energy, guilt, conflict, and doubt. Self-conscious is more outward directed. It's being more concerned about what others are thinking of you and how the situation is going to affect you. You probably react to uncomfortable situations instead of respond. Stop, think, and respond. Self-awareness comes from a place of positive energy, acceptance, contentment, self-assuredness. Self-awareness is more inward-facing. You have an accurate and realistic understanding of how you are responding to situations and how you feel about things. And it goes on for both of them, but that just gives you an idea. When you make that shift from self-conscious to self-aware, you're recognizing that you're in control of where you're going with yourself.
So before we get into our last lesson, I want to talk about what we've learned so far. And I want to ask you, Martin, you know, you had a life-changing event. You had a shift. You had a divorce, 24 years of marriage. You had to really almost reinvent yourself. Right. What about the people out there that everything's status quo? And by status quo, I mean, they're not sad. They're not happy. They're just living. And in order to take this journey and change, there's no trigger, an right. outside trigger for them. They really have to do it themselves. And they have to do it in an environment that may not be changing around them.
Right. Absolutely. I get that.
How does it work?
Well, first thing is, are they feeling like they're in their own comfort zone? Because that's not a good place to be. When you're in your comfort zone, it means you're not willing to get uncomfortable to change what's going on, and you just accept what's going on. So you got to get uncomfortable to get more comfortable, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think it's applicable to so many of the things we mentioned today, including exercising, right?
That's
Everybody
right.
wants the body. Nobody wants the pain and the
they don't want the sacrifice.
Routine. Right.
They just want the reward.
Exactly. And it's so funny. I vacillate with, you know, whether or not I'm going to be the avid person that works out every day, right? Mm-hmm. And I notice that, like, as you said, excuses. I don't have time. I'm doing so many different things. I have these meetings. But I'll find time to stand in the Starbucks line.
That's right.
I got to find time for that.
And that's where I found having a coach for me was the best thing to happen to me and for my clients, because I became their accountability partner. My coaches became my accountability partner. Whereas when you have to answer to your boss, to your wife, to your children, to everybody else, they're your accountability. You're accountable for them. But when it comes to answering to yourself, it's very easy to rationalize or just say, I can't do it. You know, come up with the excuses why it's just, okay, so it's not for me. Everybody else gets what they want. You got to put the mask on yourself first. You know, the airplane mask.
It's true. It's so true.
And it's not selfish.
No, I dare say it's not, because I think the most selfish thing is to not address who you really want to be and go through your entire life and all of your most significant relationships being a person you really don't want to be. You're not giving the best true self to the other person that you love.
Right. You know, so people ask me, what's my client look like? I said, it's that person who feels there's something off, but they're not sure. They have this like existential crisis going on, saying, is this all there is? And you know what my answer to them is? Yes. But it's how you're looking at it.
You know how many gurus say, no, this is not all there is. You can blah, blah, blah. No, I love that answer. Yeah. This is all there is.
So what are you going to do about it?
Oh, I love it. Lesson number 10, build your emotional strength to keep your feelings from ruling your actions. Now, as a reformed, angry New Yorker, I can tell you that I learned this the hard way. So lean into this one for us.
Me too. So I have this spread out in my course. First, I teach stop, think, and respond. And there's things that they learn. There's the cards. There's even a scorecard for the stop, think, and respond to see how you're doing with it. Okay? But then you need to go deeper. But before you go deeper, you got to first recognize the things you're doing. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you're doing stop, think, and respond, and when you're going to do this, you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. You're going to fail over and over and over again. But what's happening is as you become more aware of it, you're going to fail 100%, 98%, 97%. And it'll start to decrease because it's like muscle memory, brain muscle memory. So I came up with another acronym for life to build your emotional strength so that you could rule your emotions instead of your emotions ruling you. Because how many people have had their emotions rule them in the past and then say, oh my God, I can't believe I did this, blah, 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 right? So now I took L, listen to your inner voice and acknowledge your feelings or emotions. Because to me, there's a difference between emotions and feelings. An emotion is something that happens like that. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling mad. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling happy. And then what kind of anger are you feeling? Is it strong where you're enraged? Or is it light where you're just a little ticked off? So in my course, I give them a chart. And across the top of the emotions. And then each one has a column with strong, medium, and light emotions. So I say, okay, listen to your inner voice. Recognize what you're feeling, what your emotions are. Then identify what kind of feelings they are. What kind of feelings are these emotions? Are they strong, medium, light? Put a word to them. Enraged, ticked off, miffed, whatever it is. Right? And there's a list. There's like 20 or 30 for each one of these things. L, listen to your inner voice. I, identify your feelings. F, find out why. Ask yourself questions. Be like you're on trial with yourself. Cross-examine. Why am I feeling this? Is it helping me or hurting me? Who did it to me? Why did I allow them to do it? Whatever those questions are, write it down. They get a sheet. They get a worksheet. Write these things down. And then E, engage in change and take action. So that sounds all good in theory. How about if I give you an example of how I used it in my life?
Let's go.
All right. So here I am. I'm divorced about 2 years and my son's getting married. And we have a tradition. It doesn't happen all the time. Now, I'm living in New York. My ex and my children, for the most part, are living in New Jersey. They come to me every once in a while. And my son happened to be living with me because he was going to Baruch at the time, which is in New York. But for the weekend, he went to New Jersey the weekend before his wedding. And we have this tradition where sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. And I thought we had decided not to do it, to have a Saturday lunch after they go to synagogue on Shabbat, have lunch for the bride and groom. My son comes home after the weekend and says, Dad, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that mommy was making a lunch and you weren't there. Now, the old me, first thing I said to him, it's not your issue. It's your mother. The old me would have picked up the phone 3 days before the wedding and would have said, who the heck do you think you are? That was me. That's what I did. I reacted. So I said, let me think about this. How do I feel? I feel angry. Okay. What kind of anger am I feeling? Great anger. Why? So L, I was feeling enraged. L, I was angry. I identify as enraged. F, find out why. Why did I feel this way? She went behind my back. She did these things. She makes me not. Okay. I wrote out all these things. And then I went engage in change and take action. So here's where it came into play. The old me would have done that. And what would have happened at the wedding 2 days later? I would have been upset. She would have been upset. He would have been upset. Everybody would have heard about it. The family, the kids, everybody. And I'd be the bad guy. So I waited. So my action was I wrote down, what am I going to do? And I said, I'm going to wait until after the wedding. 2 days after the wedding, I picked up the phone and I said, this is what you did. This was the message that you sent. It was controlled anger. People think life coaching is to teach you how to be happy and never have anger.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Yes.
You're never going to be never angry, never sad. It's how you control those emotions when they come. And I called her up and I told her these things and I got my two cents out and I ended it. And this was a defining moment for me. I said to her at the end of the conversation, thank you for divorcing me. Because until that moment, there was still this little thing of maybe we could get together. Maybe I could figure it. We were just never right for each other. We were in a codependent relationship. I had been the people pleaser for 25 plus years because we actually got divorced finally after our 25th anniversary. So officially, we were married for 25 years. But at that moment, I was done. I had graduated myself to the next level.
So viewers and listeners, I want you to take away from that story, right? We've got several things going on. The first thing I would like to put out there is Martin is absolutely right. This is a process, right? It's not something that you're going to master with your first interaction with figuring out where you are on the emotional scale and how to deal with it. But I also know that most of the time when people are triggered, they're triggered in the moment, in that situation, in a conversation with the other person. And unfortunately, we are not at a point in our lives as a species where we can say, hold off, I got to go in a corner somewhere and write down my life. I got to write down these issues, right? And so what you can say is this conversation is not going, you know, it's not becoming healthy. It's devolving. And I think I might be contributing to that. I don't know what my part is, but I've got to go figure that out before we continue this conversation. You can say, let's stop. Let's take a break. let's pick this up another time and then set the date and time. I think, Martin, you'll agree that not only does that let the other person know that you're not trying to dismiss them, but it also holds you accountable to figuring that out before you meet again, right?
Absolutely.
And it's something that you will have to practice, and it's something that will make you uncomfortable. And for some of us, and I'm going to put myself in that category, I went through a similar transformation with the way I communicated with people. And the first few times of practicing it, Martin, I'm not going to call it any other way. I felt like a simp. I felt like, I'm not the same old Diana that used to curse you out and didn't think twice about it. You know, right. Now I'm all nicey-nicey trying to get the win-win out of it. Oh, I'm such a sucker. No. I was learning how to communicate better. And it changed my life.
That's right. And you know what? On the back card, on the back cover card, it says something that made me think of you. Don't proclaim to the world, look at me, the new me. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. They want to see what you do.
There you go.
Right? Look, I didn't get into a fight with you just now.
Right?
You just called the elephant in the room. Hello? Let the elephant sit in the corner. Leave him alone.
Yeah. It really, truly boils down to, this is not about winning the argument, winning the discussion. Right. This is not about becoming out the bigger, better person. This is about, I have some feelings and things that I need to say. I'm going to say it in a manner that you can receive, that it can calmly be heard. And then I don't care what you do with it after that. That was for me.
You don't receive it. That's on you.
That was for me. Right. I love exactly. It. Oh my goodness.
Did she receive it? I don't know. And I don't care.
There you go.
What? Right. In hindsight, I do have to say right now, and this also something that's in my course. I didn't really talk about it here. It's not in the cards, I don't think, but it's in my book and it's in my course, is I learned how to tell myself a new story about her. Mm-hmm. And that helped me to get to a point now where we have a pretty darn good relationship.
I love
she's,
it.
She's but... married. I'm married to different people.
I love it. And you know what? I dare say, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And I do believe that when you spend so much time with someone and you create life together, you know, not just a life together, but you're creating children, you're creating life together.
Yeah.
That even if the relationship doesn't last as originally intended, you've done something fundamentally to each other mm-hmm. that hopefully will help the next partner.
Right.
Yeah, help exactly. you be better for the next partner.
Exactly. And that was part of what I had, what my coaching when I was doing recovering from divorce was explaining to people, if you don't change yourself, when you get into a relationship, you're going to end up marrying somebody exactly like the person you were married to, just in a different body, because you attract what you're looking for. And if you don't change what you're looking for, you're going to get the same thing.
Well, this has been absolutely amazing, but I got to hit you with one more question.
Here it comes.
You have formed so much knowledge. What have you had to unlearn?
I had to unlearn that I don't know everything and mm-hmm. that I'm not always right.
I love that. And that is hard for anyone to admit, but I got to say, I hate to keep bringing regional back up, but it's particularly hard for a New Yorker.
That's right. Forget about it.
So I applaud that for sure. Martin, it has been a pleasure. This has been a great episode for me because it has been not only enlightening, but affirming, because a lot of the things you talk about, I had to get to through trial and error. And it just feels so good to know that there's somebody out there. You know, this is what we do. This is why we created 10 Lessons, so that people can learn from other people's journeys. Right. And I'm so glad you're out there with your programming, helping people go through these journeys and not do it the hard way or the hard-headed way,
Right.
That the way I did, as I should say.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, well, I want to thank my guest, Martin Solana, for sharing his lessons with us today.
Thank you so much.
You are amazing. And I'm probably going to be one of the first ones to get in there and buy the book. I tell you that.
Thank you. Well, sure. It's easy to get the book. It's easy to get the cards. It's go to connectwithmartin.com.
Oh, goodness. So say it one more time for us so we can put it up on the screen.
Sure. It's connectwithmartin.com. When you go there, you'll get a link to the cards, a link to the pre-launch of the book. And when you get that, you'll get the first three, you know, chapters and some free gifts. You'll also get a link to, you know, if you want free gift, like imagine if I should told you, how would you like those 7 steps of the warrior in a coloring book for adults?
Yeah, I would like that a lot.
And I also have it there for kids too, because that's what it started out as being. And then I made one for adults too.
Oh,
so those are some of the links when you go to connectwithmartin.com.
But we'll get those affirmation cards too, right?
Well, they're in the cards. Yeah, oh. The cards are there. Right at the top, you can link on it and buy the cards and get them shipped right to you.
I'd love it. I love it. You've been listening to 10 Lessons Learned. This episode is produced by Robert Hossery, supported as always by the Professional Development Forum. Please tell us what you think of today's lessons. You can email us at podcast@10lessonslearned.com. That's podcast@10lessonslearned.com. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, and turn on the notification bell so you don't miss an episode of the only show that makes the world wiser, lesson by lesson. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Diana.
Be safe, everybody.